In a few weeks, we're going to be starting our Fuel for Father's Day program once again from MAF. Now, MAF stands for Mission Aviation Fellowship. Now, in 1948, MAF moved into Ecuador. They heard of a place called Chelmeta, and they thought, oh, this could be a really good place for us to set up a base. Now, Chelmeta was a small town that the Shell Oil Company had created to try and explore the jungle area for oil. But what they did is they created this 1,500-metre airstrip right in the middle of the jungle, a perfect as a base for MAF to pursue its missionary work in the jungle. Many places that they went to took days to get to by boat, by foot, backpacks. Emergencies just couldn't be dealt with. And so the moving in there with an airstrip and with aeroplanes meant that they could do the emergency work that was needed, and they could also supply missionaries with the supplies they needed to be able to remain in their jungle location for many months at a time. And Chelmeta would provide an amazing base for them to do that, and still does today. Now, Chelmeta, if you've never heard of it, I hope that some of you have, but no? Okay, never heard of it? Okay, so this is the base where, I'm going to have to add something in here. Nate Saint, I don't know if you've heard of Nate Saint and Jim Elliott, and there was three other men. They all were killed as they attempted to reach one of the most dangerous tribes in Ecuador, the Huarani. And that was the base that was set up, and I think it's Nate Saint was one of the instigators in getting that base set up. He was their pilot. Now, the death of those five guys inspired many people to give up the life they had. They trained themselves for missionary service, and they went out to teach about Jesus, about the kingdom of God. Now, I think Jim Elliott's probably the most famous of the five. The fact that I can't remember the other three right here up in front of you is testimony to that. But he was made probably most famous because of his wife, Elizabeth, who wrote about his death within a few years. And then she would end up living in the Huarani village with the same people that killed her husband. Now, I watched a short film this week just to refresh my memory on what happened. And it was just incredible to see that Elizabeth went with her 2-year-old daughter back, and Rachel Saint, so another widow from that same event, and they went back to this village to teach them about Jesus, the same village that had killed their husbands. Isn't that incredible? And I find, I found their passion to speak about Jesus so compelling. I mean, imagine taking your 2-year-old into a village, where the people there had killed your spouse. Now, on the one hand, it seems outrageously irresponsible, but on the other hand, it's outrageously courageous. Now, as I remembered the story of these men who died and the passion to keep going by Elizabeth and Rachel, what really struck me was their kingdom focus of these families. Elizabeth quoted from Jim's diary about this, and I'm sure many of you know this quote. Jim wrote, "He's no fool who gives away what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. He's no fool who gives away what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose." Jim had kingdom values, not earthly values. See, Jim saw the value in giving up on earthly treasure that would be lost and working as hard as you can for heavenly treasure, something that will never be lost. He is no fool who gives away what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. As you look at the life of the people impacted by the death of these five men, and every time we went to Quito, the capital, it was an amazing reminder, wasn't it, of how many people were impacted by these five men. There were mission stations everywhere. But thinking about all of that, in the pain and the anguish that this family had to endure, the kingdom continued. And it seems like living for the kingdom can be very difficult. It seems that you have to make choices that people outside the kingdom never have to make. And that's what we're going to see today. We're going to look at what you need to know to endure in the kingdom of heaven. And we're going to see three things out of today's passage, and they're in the outline of your bulletin. We're going to see that the kingdom of heaven matures in adversity. We see that it grows from obscurity. And we see that it perseveres through to victory. So have your Bibles open and to Matthew chapter 13. And our first point for today is that the kingdom of heaven matures in adversity. Now, we heard the parable earlier, and it said in verses 24 and 25 that the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field, but while his men were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. Good seed planted, but an enemy comes along and sabotages the crop. Doesn't destroy the crop, but plants weeds amongst the good seed. And in verse 26, we read that the weeds and the plants are growing together. And you can imagine that at first you would hardly notice the difference. But eventually the servants are shocked in verse 27. They thought the master planted good seed, but as the weeds come up, they're in doubt. And the master responds in 28 to let them know that it wasn't his bad seed. Rather, an enemy has done this, an imposter. So the servants offer to go and weed the crop to take out the weeds. But the master responds in 29 and 30 and says, no, lest in gathering the weeds you root up the wheat along with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And at harvest time, I will tell the reapers, gather the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather wheat into my barn. So the wheat will be safe because the weeds are taken out first and burned, but he says, let them grow together. And then just a reminder what this parable is compared to. Look back up at verses 24 and 25. The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field, but while his men were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. Now, we continue from last week. Once again, we have an agricultural parable. This time it's comparing the kingdom of heaven to a man who sowed good seed, and yet his enemy sows weeds in his field, and the master lets the wheat and the weeds grow together. So the kingdom of heaven is like a field of wheat that grows up with weeds. Now, wheat that grows up among weeds is wheat that has had to grow in adverse conditions. It's not an ideal situation. The enemy's trying to undo the work of the master who has planted his seed. But the end of the story is worth noting, isn't it? Because the wheat is harvested after the weeds are gone and burned, and the wheat fills the barn. So the wheat which was sabotaged with weeds actually grows to maturity and is harvested at the right time with no regard for the weeds whatsoever. But the kingdom of heaven will grow or mature in adversity. Now we know from the explanation down in verse 37 that the good seed are the sons of the kingdom. And sons of the kingdom are those who have put their trust in Jesus. The good seed are people that know they're sinners, they've realised that Jesus died in their place for their sins and have put their trust in him. That's a good seed. And what we're to understand is that the conditions for the wheat to mature are not the best. What's the parable saying? That all those who believe in Jesus will mature in adverse conditions. Now, I mentioned this last week, but it's worth talking about again. Parables help us see ourselves in the story. And I think many of us look at this parable and we can see the relationship between us and the wheat. And we would say, yeah, that's right. I have faced adverse conditions in my life. There have been moments when I've wondered if following Jesus is worth all the pain. Or maybe you're here today thinking this very thing. The weight of life is maybe feeling too much. And I think for many of us, we have moments in life that have felt out of control. That the weight of all that's going on for us may be too much. And I would say to you, yes, it may feel too much. But the parable reminds us that although we mature in adverse conditions, we will grow up into fully mature heads of wheat. And that's the reality of living in the kingdom. Living with opposition is expected. Now, I've shared this with you before, but one of the ministry teams I was involved in overseas, we always experienced opposition. We always expected opposition. And this is what Jesus is talking about. As you grow into maturity, as you try and tell your friends about Jesus, things will get tough. As Jesus spoke this parable to those around him, I'm sure he had people in mind. Judas comes to my mind. Judas was with Jesus at that time, a weed among the wheat. Now, it's hard for us to know the wheat from the weeds like Jesus knew the wheat from the weeds. And that's why I would keep encouraging you to go back to God's word, grow into maturity, knowing that you will face adversity. See, that's the first thing I think that we see here, that the kingdom of heaven matures in adversity. And that's what we need to know to endure the kingdom of heaven, isn't it? Now, the next thing we see is that the kingdom of heaven grows from obscurity. In other words, the kingdom of heaven will have small beginnings, but will grow bigger than you can imagine. Now, Jesus gave them two parables for this section. The first one's in verses 31 and 32, and the second is in verse 33, which Corrine shared with the kids. The first one is about a grain of mustard seed. And we're told in verse 32, it's the smallest of all seeds, but when it has grown, it is larger than all the garden plants and becomes a tree so that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches. And Jesus is saying that the kingdom of heaven is like a small seed that grows up into a large plant. Something small grows into something big. The other parable he told here is about the leaven. It's one verse. It says there, the kingdom of heaven is like leaven that a woman took and hid in three measures of flour till it was all leavened. Again, something small. The leaven is added to three measures of flour, and yet the leaven impacts all of the flour. It permeates every part of the flour. The kingdom of heaven grows from obscurity. It grows from small beginnings, but has a big impact. Now, these parables tell us that the kingdom will grow. We heard a few weeks ago when we looked at Matthew 16, we heard that Jesus will build his church. And here's the parable that leads up to that statement. The kingdom of heaven will grow. Jesus will build his church. As missionaries, we spent 3 to 4 years in Ecuador at a time before coming back to share what God had been doing through us. and as we came back, our kids would now be about 3 to 4 years older than when people at church last saw them. And one thing they would always say to our kids is this: gee, you've gotten big. Gee, you've grown. Now, they hadn't seen our kids, and they were probably this high when they saw them, and now they're this high. And because they haven't seen the kids for a long time, they would see the dramatic change in their bodies and would say, you've grown. Our kids would always respond, what did they expect? Do they expect us to stay little our whole lives, like we were 3 years old? No, we all expect kids to grow up, don't we? We all expect to grow old. And this is what we need to know as we look at the kingdom and as you endure in the kingdom of heaven. We should expect the kingdom of heaven will grow from something small into something large. It will grow from obscurity, something minuscule, into something large and great. See, this is the expectation. We shouldn't be surprised by growth. We should expect that the kingdom will grow. And I think this is where we come into it. See, because each one of us has a part to play in the kingdom growing. We should expect it to grow. Now, we handed out our Oikos cards last week, and if you were away and you missed that, I'm sorry, but you have to go to the back of the church after church, and I'll meet you there and give you a card. And if you weren't here, then come and speak to me and I'll explain it a bit more. Our Oikos are those 8 to 15 people in our lives that don't know Jesus, and we're going to start praying for them. That's what we're going to do. So get the brochure, read it, and ask me questions. Now, we have these cards to help us pray for the people around us, because we have the expectation that the kingdom of God will grow. This means we should expect to see the people around us, those we love and care for, give their lives to Jesus. We should expect people to enter into a knowledge of Jesus as we pray and share our lives with them. Romans 10, 14 and 15 says this: how can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. We are the feet of good news. We have the message of eternal life. Yes, God will change the hearts, but we've got been commissioned to speak. And what a shame for all of us if we keep silent. We have beautiful feet. Beautiful feet. Most people don't like the look of their feet, but we have beautiful feet. Because it's as we speak, we will see this kingdom of heaven grow from obscurity. It will grow from something small and become something great. What do you need to know to endure in the kingdom of heaven? That the kingdom will grow as we pray, as we speak, as we share, as we love, as we care. The kingdom will grow. And now we find ourselves in the third point, which will say that the kingdom of heaven perseveres through to victory. Now we saw that it matures in adversity, it grows from obscurity, and now we see that it perseveres through to victory. And in this section, we get an explanation of the parable that we saw in verses 24 to 30. You'll notice that in verses 34 and 35, there's a little narrator's section, very similar to what we saw last week, but this week it's a lot shorter. And again, it's a reminder to us that Jesus taught in parables because that's what the Old Testament said would happen. All of what Jesus is doing is again fulfilling what the Old Testament said about him. And as we come to the explanation of the parable, we see that seven things from the parable are given meaning. Now, first, and be good to have your Bibles open here, in verse 37 it says, "The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man." And we used that already in the first section. In other words, Jesus is the one who sows seed in the story. Next, in verse 38, we see the next three things. The second thing is that the field is the world. The third thing is that the good seed is the sons of the kingdom. The fourth thing in verse 38 is that the weeds are the sons of the evil one. And then in verse 39, we're given the last three things. The fifth thing is that the enemy who sowed the weeds is the devil. Sixth thing is the harvest is the end of the age. And then seventhly, the reapers are angels. So the story to where to understand as we hear this parable is this: Jesus is the one who sows the seed in the world. And the good seed are sons of the kingdom. They're the people who have repented of their sinfulness and trust in Jesus. They're the good seed. The weeds are sons of the evil one. They belong to the devil. And it's the devil who plants these sons of the evil one in the world. Now, Jesus is speaking about a spiritual battle that is happening in the kingdom of heaven. He's planting good seed, bringing people into the kingdom. This is happening right now as Jesus rules at this time. But at the same time, the devil is also trying to get a foothold. And he's planting weeds, planting sons of the evil one. And this battle is going on, and people are on one side or the other. They're either with Jesus or with the devil. And this is why I've chosen the title for this point. Because as the battle goes on, we know that Jesus will be victorious. He will persevere through to victory. That's what the story tells us. Because what happens next is certain. We read that there will be a harvest. The harvest is the end of the age. We see that Jesus will come back for the harvest. And at the harvest, the angels sent by Jesus will cut down the weeds. They'll bundle them up and throw them into the fire. Now, this points to Jesus as the judge of all people. And there'll be a great separation between those who follow Jesus, the good seed, and those who follow the devil, the weeds. And here it says that the weeds are gathered, they are bundled, they are burned in the fire. Now, the picture it creates for us is not a pleasant one. Look at verses 41 and 42. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all lawbreakers and throw them into the fiery furnace. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. If you're not following Jesus, then this is what you face: eternal suffering, eternal pain. The kingdom we live in now belongs to Jesus. And if you're living in rebellion to him, as verse 42 says, it says he will gather you and throw you out of his kingdom. So the obvious thing that I need to say to you today is that if you're not following Jesus, well, turn to him and trust him. Trust him and know that he is willing to forgive you for whatever you've done. But turn to him in repentance and faith. Because when you trust him, you too, like the kingdom, will persevere through to victory. See, and that's what the last verse is telling us today, verse 43, where it says, "Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear." Trust in Jesus, and you will shine like the sun. They're called the righteous because the reality is that all who trust in Jesus are given the righteousness of Christ, a gift, his grace from the Messiah, from Jesus. You are made perfect like Jesus when you trust that his death covers over all your sin. And I think it's worth noting that in this parable, where the weeds are not ripped up while the wheat is still growing, that Jesus will persevere till the end. And he'll be able to maintain his fields till the weeds are taken away. Perseverance is a given when you trust in Jesus. Victory is assured when you trust in Jesus. But I think for many of us, perseverance doesn't feel like it's a given, is it? Now, I don't know if any of you have done the City to Serve. Maybe you're planning to do it next weekend. Or maybe you've tried a marathon. Has anyone tried a marathon? I remember trying, having a go at a triathlon many years ago. It was one of those really short ones. I thought, oh, this is a good introduction. Well, I tell you, my body's never worked so hard in its life. I swam as hard as I could. I got on the bike and pedaled as hard as I could. And then I started running, and I do not like running. And by the end of it, all I wanted to do was throw up. I finished, but my body didn't cope. See, I'm limited in what I can do. And I think we all think that too. Perseverance, well, we get worn down, don't we? But the picture here in this parable is that there are two certainties. You're either a son of the kingdom or a son of the evil one. And this is where the parable is asking you to answer the question, which seed am I? Am I good seed? Am I a weed? Do I belong to Jesus or do I belong to the devil? Two choices. And the parable doesn't give us multiple options or in-between options, just two options. It says you're either for Jesus or against Jesus. And we know that the kingdom of heaven will persevere till the end. This is a sure reality. And so the message must be, make sure you're good seed. Make sure you're a son of the kingdom. A son of God. Because children of the kingdom will persevere. We will persevere through to victory. Jesus' perseverance will get us through to the end. And as we wrap up today, we remember that although the kingdom will grow in adversity, and it will grow from something small, something very obscure, the kingdom will most certainly persevere through to victory. Well, let's pray. Now, Father God, we thank you for the certainty we have because your plans are right and true. We know that although the kingdom grows in adversity and grows from obscurity, it will also persevere through to victory. We ask that you give us hearts for your kingdom. Give us hearts for you. Give us hearts to share the good news of Jesus with those around us. And we ask that you use us in ways that we don't even know, so that your kingdom may grow and you may be glorified through it. And we pray this all in the strong name of Jesus. Amen.